Welcome back, everybody. We're diving into some fascinating stuff today, cracking open the book of 1 Kings, chapters 12 and 13.
Oh, yeah, this is a good one.
It is. All right. Picking up right where we left off after the kingdom splits, right? So tensions are super high.
Right.
Jeroboam, he's in charge up north.
Yep.
And you can just imagine the pressure, right?
Yeah.
New kingdom. Everybody's looking to him for guidance.
Huge responsibility.
Right. So what does he do?
Yeah, what does he do?
He decides to create his own religious centers, like complete with golden calves.
Oh, yeah. Golden calves.
Big no-no.
It was a move that was designed to kind of like rival the temple down south in Judah.
Hey, yeah.
But what happens when a king decides to go head to head, not just with another kingdom, but with the prophet speaking for God?
You know that's not going to end well.
That's what we're going to find out.
Exactly.
It's a pretty fascinating power play by Jeroboam.
He really is.
Building an altar at Bethel,
setting
up those golden calves, trying to control the narrative, the whole story.
Yeah. He's not just trying to establish religious authority.
Yeah, he's going way beyond that.
He's trying to control the narrative, the very fabric of this new nation.
He wants to be the ultimate authority.
Yeah.
Religious and political.
Right. But as we're going to see, going against divine instructions can have some pretty serious consequences.
Some pretty serious consequences indeed.
It's almost like he's saying, hey, I'm the king. I make the rules, even when it comes to worshiping God.
Yeah, huge mistake.
Right.
That's not how it works.
But then this man of God enters the scene.
A prophet from Judah.
Yeah, sent straight from Judah.
Doesn't mess around.
No, he does not mince words.
Nope.
He delivers God's stark warning.
Straight to the king's face.
Prophesies that a future king, Josiah, by name, will completely desecrate this very altar.
No.
Chilling prediction, right?
Very chilling. Talk about a sign. Things get really dramatic here.
Oh, it gets so dramatic.
Yeah.
To really drive the point home.
Right.
The altar splits apart. Ashes spill out.
Oh.
And Jeroboam's hand.
His hand?
The very hand he stretched out to try and seize the prophet.
No way.
Withers. Right there on the spot.
Oh, that's gonna hurt.
Talk about a sign from above.
It doesn't get much clearer than that.
You would think that would be enough.
Right.
To make Jeroboam rethink his choices.
You'd think so.
But here's the thing. He begs for healing. Sure. But there's, like, no sign of repentance.
No change of heart.
No change of heart. It's almost as if his physical discomfort outweighs his spiritual state.
It's like he's more worried about his hand than his soul.
I'm struggling with that a little bit. It seems kind of counterintuitive.
It does, doesn't it? But I think it gives us a little window into, you know, human nature.
Yeah.
Especially when power is involved.
Oh, yeah. Power can do strange things to people.
Jeroboam, he's driven by fear and security. He's just established this new kingdom.
Brand new.
He needs to make sure everyone respects him, you know?
Consolidate
his power.
Yeah.
And he's chosen religion as the way to do it.
Interesting tactic.
So even when he's confronted with undeniable evidence of God's power,
you'd think that would be enough.
His priority, still that grip on the throne.
So you're saying his focus is so narrow on maintaining control.
Yeah, very narrow.
That he can't even grasp the magnitude of what's just happened.
It's like he's completely missing the point.
Missing the forest for the trees.
Exactly. It's a good reminder that even when we see something extraordinary, something completely miraculous,
right,
us humans, we can be so good at clinging to our own plans.
Oh, yeah.
Even when they're so clearly not in line with a bigger, more profound truth.
It's a powerful reminder for sure. But here's where things get really interesting.
Okay, lay it on me.
God, in a moment of incredible grace, restores Jeroboam's hand.
Even though
the king hasn't even thought about repenting.
That's amazing.
It's like a giant question mark hanging over the whole situation. Why show mercy to someone who doesn't even seem to know they need it?
I think that's the amazing thing about grace. You know?
Yeah.
It's not like a prize for good behavior.
Right?
It's a gift just given to us.
It's amazing.
Freely. Doesn't matter what we've done. It's available to everybody.
I love that.
It's like God saying, hey, I love you. I see you. I'm always here for you, even when you don't deserve it.
Wow. That really hits home. And then we've got this man of God.
The prophet.
The prophet. He's been given clear instructions.
From God himself.
Yeah. Huh? Don't eat or drink anything while you're in Bethel, and don't go back the same way you came.
That seems pretty clear.
Pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah.
But even with clear divine instructions, there's room for human error, you know.
Of course. We're human.
For doubt. Temptation.
Easy to get sidetracked.
And that's where this story takes a turn.
Oh boy.
Another prophet, an older man, enters the picture. And he, he deceives the man of God.
Oh, no.
Convinces him to break God's command.
What did he do?
This new prophet, he invites the man of God to eat at his house.
Oh. See, that's tricky.
Right. And this is where I get tripped up, you know?
I get it. It's a tough one.
How often do we, like, mistake what seems like an open door, you know? Like a kind gesture.
Yeah.
For God's will. Or what about all the times we've listened to well-meaning advice?
Oh, I've been there.
That turned out to be completely wrong.
So many times.
This part of the story. It feels so real, so relatable.
It definitely speaks to the human experience.
Big time cautionary tale, for sure.
For sure. It reminds us that just because something seems like a good opportunity,
right,
doesn't mean it's what God wants for us.
And trusting someone's word.
Yeah. Even if they have the best intentions.
Right.
Doesn't mean they're right.
Exactly. We have to do the work.
We have to seek God's guidance.
Specifically for what we're going through at that moment.
It takes effort.
Real intentional effort. So we've got a king clinging to power, a prophet struggling with obedience, and God's grace just like hanging in the balance.
Well,
feels like the stakes are just getting higher and higher.
I know. It's getting intense.
So what happens next?
Oh, this is about to get good.
So
the man of God, right?
Yeah.
He breaks that command.
Yeah.
And he faces the consequences.
On
his journey home, he encounters a lion.
Oh, this is not good.
And let's just say it doesn't end well for him.
A lion! Seriously?
Yeah, it's a pretty harsh reminder that even what we might think is, you know, a small act of disobedience
right.
can have some big, devastating consequences.
This is where I really, like, struggle with this whole divine justice idea.
I understand.
The older prophet, the one who lied mm-hmm. and led the man of God astray.
Right.
He just seems to get away with it.
Yeah.
Like, scot-free.
It does seem unfair.
Where's the fairness in that?
It's a question that's, you know, puzzled people for a really long time.
Yeah.
Why do bad people seem to get ahead while good people suffer?
It's a tough one.
But I think if we kind of zoom out and look at the bigger picture.
Okay.
It shows us something really profound about how God interacts with us.
Okay, I'm listening.
Think about Jesus. When he was teaching.
Yeah.
Who did he challenge the most?
Who?
The Pharisees.
Oh, yeah.
The religious leaders.
They were like the top dogs.
Exactly. They were the ones closest to God, you know.
Supposedly, right.
Totally immersed in the law and everything.
Yeah.
But they had strayed so far from what faith was really about.
Mm.
It was like, because they were so close to God.
Right.
Because they knew so much.
Yeah.
God held them to a higher standard.
Oh, interesting.
So maybe the older prophet.
Yeah.
The one who lied.
Uh-huh.
He was so far from God.
Okay.
That his actions were like almost a symptom of his spiritual blindness.
So God was more focused on bringing those who were already trying to follow him.
Yeah, the ones who were close.
Like the man of God from Judah.
Right.
Back to a place of obedience.
Exactly. It's like God's more concerned with helping those who really want to follow him
mm-hmm.
rather than immediately punishing those who were completely lost.
Mm. I never thought of it that way.
It's like a parent, you know?
Yeah.
Disciplining a child because they love them.
Right.
And they know the child can learn from it.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's like that saying, to whom much is given, much is required.
Right, right.
But it also makes me think about something else.
What's that?
These two prophets.
Yeah.
They almost represent the two kingdoms, you know?
Judah and Israel?
Exactly.
That can't be a coincidence, right?
I don't think so.
So at this point, Judah, represented by the man of God.
Right.
They're considered like the good guys.
Right. The more righteous ones.
More righteous than Israel.
For sure.
But the fact that their prophet got tricked.
And suffered the consequences.
That's a warning for Judah, isn't it?
It's like a big wake-up call.
Like, hey, just because you're doing okay now
yeah.
doesn't mean you can't mess up.
You can't just coast.
And it's a good reminder for us too, right?
Absolutely.
That even if we have strong faith.
We can still be led astray.
So we need to always be checking ourselves.
Yeah, check our motivations.
Making sure we're really listening to God.
Not just doing what's easy.
Or what everyone else is doing.
Or what feels good in the moment.
Exactly. This story, it feels so relevant to us today.
It really does.
Even though it happened like thousands of years ago.
We face so many choices.
So many voices telling us what to do.
It's overwhelming sometimes.
And so many things that look good on the surface.
It might not be what God wants for us.
That's the tough part, figuring that out.
It is tough.
It's like we're bombarded with information.
Everyone's got an opinion.
It's easy to get lost in all the noise.
And lose sight of what really matters.
This story, it makes us ask ourselves some hard questions.
Like what?
What voices are we listening to?
Who are we letting influence our decisions?
Are we willing to get uncomfortable?
To really seek out God's will.
Even when it's hard.
Even when it's not popular.
That's the challenge.
And what about the consequences?
Oh, yeah, those consequences.
It's easy to look at that lion, you know, and think, whoa, that's crazy.
That's intense.
But we face our own lions all the time.
Not literal lions, maybe?
No, not usually.
But just as impactful.
Maybe even more so.
And those consequences, they come from, you know, our disobedience.
Our failure to really seek God's guidance.
It's a scary thought.
It is.
But it's something we need to think about.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
We have to ask ourselves, what are the lions in our lives?
What are we risking?
What happens if we choose the easy way out?
If we choose comfort over doing what we know is right.
If we chase approval from others.
Instead of listening to that quiet voice inside.
God's voice.
This whole episode, it's like a wake-up call.
It is.
To take our faith seriously.
To be intentional.
To really seek out God's will.
And to remember that our choices, they matter.
They have consequences.
Not just for us.
But for everyone around us, too.
It's a powerful thought.
This whole story, it's like holding up a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Showing us the choices we make every single day.
Yeah, the easy way.
Versus doing what's right.
Versus integrity.
Right. It's like, do we listen to that little voice inside, that doubt?
Or do we ignore it?
Or just push it down?
It makes you think about those choices.
Yeah.
The ones that seem small,
mm-hmm.
but end up changing everything.
It's like the butterfly effect, but for our faith.
Exactly. One little choice can have huge ripple effects.
And we might not even realize it.
Not for a long time.
This story, it's not just about individual choices, though, is it?
No, it's bigger than that.
It shows us the responsibility of a whole nation.
Of all God's people.
Remember, the man of God. He was like a symbol of Judah.
Right.
What he did, it didn't just affect him.
It reflected on the whole kingdom.
So even though Judah was like the better kingdom at this point.
A more righteous one.
Their future wasn't certain.
Yep.
It all depended on their obedience.
On whether they followed God's lead.
It's a reminder for us, you know. We can't just sit back and relax.
We can't be complacent.
Or start judging other people.
It's easy to look around and say, well, at least I'm not as bad as them.
Oh, yeah, I've totally done that.
But that's a dangerous trap.
It is, because we're all messed up in some way.
We all need to grow.
We've all got blind spots.
Places where we need God's help.
Absolutely.
And that's where real faith comes in, right?
It's not about checking off boxes.
Or feeling better than other people.
It's about wanting to be more like God.
And letting him change us.
From the inside out.
That's the hard work.
It is hard work.
But it's the good stuff.
This whole conversation, it's like a big flashing sign.
A wake-up call.
Saying, hey, faith isn't passive.
You got to work at it.
That's a choice we make every day.
To line up our hearts with God's will.
Even when it's difficult.
Even when it feels like swimming upstream.
And even when we mess up.
Because we all do.
God's grace is still there.
Always ready to pick us up.
And dust us off.
And set us back on track.
He's not waiting to punish us.
No. He wants to heal us.
To bring us closer to him.
It's amazing.
This deep dive into 1 Kings, it leaves me with so many questions.
Like what?
What lions am I facing right now?
What compromises am I making?
Whose voice am I listening to?
It makes you think.
I'll be thinking about this for a while, that's for sure.
Me too. It's a good challenge.
So as we wrap up, I just want to say, keep searching for the truth.
Keep asking those hard questions.
And keep listening for that quiet voice.
The one that leads us to God.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
See you next time.
And until then, keep seeking, keep growing, and keep trusting God.